All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are here for a very special secret surprise Take the Points March Madness themed podcast. I am Tom Zalesnok in Connecticut. I'm here via Skype with Dan Partridge and Ryan Spillett from Phoenix, Arizona. Gentlemen, what's going on?
Not much, Z. How are you?
Good. Spillett, how are you?
Doing well, Z. Doing well. Thank you, man.
For all the listeners, we are going to get into March Madness, but first we had to address a few other more recent events, including Bill Cosby innocent.
Yeah, that happened. Kanye's kind of going crazy, as you heard here first on Take the Points. Has anyone, like, really heard his new album? Like, I mean, like, I guess you can go online and listen to it if you subscribe to Tidal, but outside of that, like, how can I hear his album? It's absurd. This is music in 2016. It's so absurd. He played that concert at Madison Square Garden. Sorry, he didn't play a concert. He stood in the middle of Madison Square Garden and hit play. And he played his album and just was like, had people come on stage and he gave him high fives. Like, what? What's going on here? Things are getting weird with him. I don't know. Watch out for our Kardashian sacrifice. Could come true.
Dan, I think for new listeners or people who don't remember our last podcast a couple months ago, maybe you should, go over the Kardashian sacrifice, hashtag Kardashian sacrifice, and remind people what it's all about.
Well, we have a theory that Kim and Kanye need to have like one really important kind of thing happen to keep moving forward. So like this year, we think that a Kardashian is going to unexpectedly pass away, and it's going to be a murder, and it's Kardashian sacrifice. That's the hashtag. So we said this last year kind of jokingly, and now it's getting weird with Kanye, Bill Cosby innocent, I'm in debt. I need some money from the guy who did Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg. He's like, it's really funny. Like, I don't know if it's just like pure entertainment or it's half serious, but I don't know how it's going to end either. But yeah, music 2016, very interesting.
He is also meeting with Clippers owner Steve Ballmer next week to help him redesign a new mascot / logo for the Clippers. The new one that the Clippers unveiled last week sucked. So Kanye tweeted at Steve Ballmer and said, "Call me, I'll fix this for you." And he called him. So apparently that's going to happen.
If I was a rich guy, I would definitely give Kanye a call. I mean, I'm sure there's a way you can make it mutually beneficial. And Kanye,
no, he's Looney Tunes.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. I'm not sure whether he's the funniest person alive, the greatest performance artist of all time, or legitimately mentally ill.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, and the escalating series of publicity events that the Kardashians have been doing and that he's been doing over the last 10 years, we do believe will result in a sacrifice or a death at some point. And this is the year 2016, hashtag Kardashian sacrifice. Hit us up on Twitter, people. Let us know what Kardashian you'd like to see sacrificed, how you'd like them to do it. It's like a game of Clue, Dan. It'll be Kourtney Kardashian in the library with the candlestick. Well, not in the library.
Not in the library.
I will tell you this much, though. If a Kardashian passes away in 2016, the podcast is over. There will be a new name. Tom's name will be like Mike. Mine's going to be like Juan. I'm going to fake an accent. So just like throw it off and we'll talk like a little bit of international soccer and more like Mexican politics. So just to let everybody know.
I'm going to propose a similar idea that we take the podcast, we keep it going, we change the name to The New Nostradamuses with Tom and Dan and Ryan, and all we do is give predictions for the future. One thing I love about Nostradamus, you never hear about all his wrong predictions. Like,
no.
The guy had 7 predictions that kind of sort of worked out because he worded them very vaguely. But the guy basically made like 8 million predictions over the course of his life. So you never hear his prediction of like Marco Rubio will become president in 2016. Yeah. They sweep those ones under the rug.
Yeah, that's a valid point, see. I don't know.
All you got to do is just say a bunch of shit, and then eventually, like, seven of those things will happen, and then you're the greatest genius of all time.
I like it.
All right, so that's the new podcast after Kourtney Kardashian dies at the fashion show being choked out by the scarf.
Rob Kardashian, heart attack, Chinese buffet.
Spill it.
The baby.
Oh, I don't like where this one's going.
Off a balcony in Cannes. At the Cannes Film Festival.
All right, I think you two have me beat. I think my prediction's the worst of all of them. But we'll see. One of those three is coming true. Any other current events you'd like to talk about? This is Tuesday, March 15th, we're recording. It's a big political night. Marco Rubio out, looking like Trump Clinton. I would like to point out that I can no longer, we don't like to get political, but I think it's worth noting that I can no longer determine what's from The Onion and what's from real life. Like, I saw an article earlier today. It said, I wrote it down, Ted Cruz tells protesters he won't ask for them to be punched in the face. So I see that. I'm laughing. I'm like, oh, The Onion. What a hilarious headline. Oh, wrong. No. NBC News.
Yeah. This is the worst election of all time, hands down. We are like, you know, like, all right, like 15 years ago, people would go, the world's coming to an end. I'd go, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, it's impossible to kill off the earth. But like, this election is really fucked. Either way, it can go, like, any of these assholes can fuck this up. Like, we got liars and cheaters and people that change their mind and people that really aren't politicians and people who are racist and then like more racists and then like different kind of racists and then like white people who are still like, but like aren't fan of Jewish people. Like, we got one of those running around. And like, it's,
if you're only moderately racist, you're good in this one.
It's like, yeah, well, I have a couple, you know, ideas in my head about a couple races. They're like, that's not bad. You're in good shape.
Yeah, I'm racist, but only against Native Americans. That's fine. Good enough.
They're like, who cares? They ain't going to vote. It's like, okay, I see you share some of the same beliefs. No, it's so fucked, dude. It's really bad. I don't want anybody to win. I don't want to be that guy to be like, I don't want anyone to win so I can complain. I really don't like talk politics ever, and I really don't care who wins, but just as long as it's not Trump. I mean, that's just absurd. I mean, we could actually really have some terrorism shit go about if that's the case. But that's all I really care about, is just people not getting hurt. So whoever can make that happen, I'm happy with.
I feel the same way. I was the last couple elections when people are going crazy. I'm like, listen, everyone, it doesn't matter who wins. You just worry about your own life and you'll be fine. Everything will work out fine. And then this time I'm like, damn it. I was wrong.
I don't know, man. It's real bad. It's so bad.
All right, we'll move along. Mother Teresa is going to become a saint, Dan. Any thoughts on that?
Nope.
I have some thoughts. I'd like you to weigh in and see what you think about this. So Mother Teresa, I want to approach this gingerly because I know of all the great things Mother Teresa has done. But, you know, I grew up in the church. And one of the things about being a saint is you have to perform two miracles. But like, here's the thing about Mother Teresa. She lived now, recently, where we actually record history. And so she doesn't have any like miracles, quote unquote. How do you become a saint these days when, you know, miracles don't really exist? And now we watch everything that happens. Are we just going to be like, she was real good? We'll let her slide on the two miracles thing. Or are they going to make stuff up or what?
I don't know, man. I mean, this is a really good argument. I mean, You can either say, nope, it's always been two miracles and keep them out,
But
or
then
you
no
can
one gets
say,
in ever again.
correct, or you can say, no, we will make it easier. That's kind of like saying we got to change our U.S. policy on control, and we'll change the amendment. And people go, oh no, you can't change that. So either we're going to have kids still getting shot, or we can leave it the way it is. It's the same thing. So,
I was going to say it's kind of like the Tom Brady rules in football, where it's just like, well, defensive backs could basically knock over receivers, but then everybody loved Tom Brady. So they're like, you can't do that anymore. We're going to change the rules because we really like this guy.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what's going to
I
happen
think
here.
Mother Teresa is the Tom Brady of helping people, is what I'm saying.
Oh, that's a hell of an analogy.
I say let her in, Dan. Mother
How?
Teresa now, Tom Brady 50 years from now.
I don't like Tom Brady though. So like, I'm gonna say no, she's out.
Does Eli get in? Because he's got two miracles of beating the Pats in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Okay. Mother Teresa out, Eli Manning in. I think that's our conclusion.
I agree. And also Peyton Manning.
No miracles for him.
Because he's
Two,
supposed to
no,
win.
he's had two miracles. He came back from the neck injury. That was a miracle. Four neck fusions. And then he somehow won a Super Bowl when he couldn't throw the ball more than 9 yards. That's kind of a miracle in today's NFL.
Can
I'll give him
we
two.
haven't done a podcast since the Super Bowl. Can we
And
quickly
he
review?
also turned the country bumpkin with ugly, goofy into like the world's greatest spokesperson. And it's going to only get better as he's retired. That's kind of a miracle. Look at that dude. Look at that dude. He's so recognizable and well-loved for commercials. Like, who would have thought that?
By get better, do you mean he's going to be like Brett Favre, where he's eventually advertising for like icy hot gel and like $1 razors?
Filthy
Favre
Kitchen
is
Rodan
4
in like
months away from
40.
doing like Viagra ads and like foot bunion remover.
I have a theory on that. I think he only films commercials at his own house in Mississippi. He's got like an outside, like, outside house, like a smaller version. It's just got a big like screen in there, and they come in, and he's like, when I'm throwing the football around and I get athlete's foot, I know where to turn. And so then they're like, cut, okay, you're done. And then he goes back inside and he gets ready to go shoot things in the woods. I really think that's it. So if you can film a commercial on site for Favre, good to go.
Maybe they should
Good
just
theory.
take a film crew down and just film multiple commercials at once. Or better yet, just film a generic ad script that's like, "Hi, I'm Brett Favre, and I'm a big fan of this product you're seeing right now." And then they can just put it on different stations with like a different overlay.
That'd be really funny.
This right here changed my life. And they just superimpose a different product in his hand.
It's like hovering over it. Like it doesn't really like look like it's even on the hand. It's like
Well, they're
his
all
nephew.
pain removing, so it'd be like, I suffered with pain, but now I'm fine thanks to this fine product. And it could be like Tylenol, Icy Hot, knee braces. The world's his
Except
oyster.
the kid producing it's like his nephew who's at Biloxi Community College, so it's just a little bit off.
Oh yeah, it's still in 4:3 dimensions, of course.
Correct.
NFL admits football and CTE are connected. That's something that
Oh.
just happened this week. They finally admitted it, Dan, Ryan.
Wow.
Spill it, you played a bunch of sports more than the other two of us. You probably got the most concussions of us three.
Hands down. Yes.
Are you feeling the brain damage yet, or you wait until like you're 50 for it to kick in?
There's some bouts here and there. Being honest, there's definitely a couple times where you don't really know what's going on. But hopefully it won't get worse, or if it does, it will be way later on. But it's, yeah, there's a connection for sure.
I've had like three concussions that I know about, and I feel every once in a while I feel really stupid now. but some of it might be related to age. Like, it's hard to tell.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm sure it's completely true. I mean, there's, like, NFL players who are, like, way too young passing away. And even players – or, like, even, like, people who even played, like, high school and college football but didn't play pro still are messed up. So, yeah, it's no good.
Would you let your kids play football?
No.
No.
All right. Yeah, I was debating it. My wife says no, no way, no chance.
No chance whatsoever. What's the point?
It's a useless sport.
Yeah, but my kid will be a half white, half Asian, like 5'3", so they're not playing anyway.
Nope. Can't really name a lot of them in the league.
Dak Gwynn? He's the only one.
Ed Wang was in the league for a while. I want him to be a star because I know all those alcoholic fans up there in Buffalo would have had Wang jerseys, every single one of them. That would have been, like, the number two, like, most sold Bills jersey somehow would have been Wang. And,
wait, who's number one? Still, well, Trent Edwards? Or Jim Kelly? It's still Jim Kelly.
It is still Jim Kelly. It was Jim Kelly.
Fred Jackson.
Wang. And then, like, Freddie.
Thermal. Jackson.
Yeah, number three is, like, Bruce Smith.
All right.
Or is OJ, which is weird, but people only wear those around the house.
That's just for home use only.
You go, I like the way it feels.
Hey, man, say what you want about the juice, but he was a very good running back. One of the best.
Cutting his way up the field. Slicing and dicing in the red zone.
Since the decorum on this podcast has already gone to hell, would either of you, especially you, Spillett, like to comment on the newest 30 for 30 on Duke lacrosse?
Yeah, I will. I have no problem with that. It was excellent. It was really, really well done. I thought they did a good job of presenting it as it happened. You know, they really... I thought they did a really good job of capturing the hate. What people didn't get out of that, you know, 30 for 30 is that the hate wasn't just towards Duke. The hate was the whole sport of lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
It changed when that happened. It changed my wardrobe almost completely. It changed the way that I told people what I did for a living completely.
Yeah, so for people who don't know, you were a star lacrosse player at Lemoyne, and then you went on to coaching.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, man, like, it's when that happened, that was my third year of graduate assistant. And that wasn't good, man. It all went down, you know, during spring break for them, which the following week when it all broke was spring break for us. And so we had to spend a week in Disney at the sports complex with all of that being literally the only thing on every news station. And, you know, it definitely made for a really awkward time. I mean, it was tough, dude. People looked at us like we were all Trump, you know. It was bad, dude. Like, people hated us. They just all they did was crack jokes about it. And, you know, it turns out, we find out at the, you know, after all said and done, it was a complete lie. And the DA stuff was just ridiculous. That was really fascinating. I thought they did a really good job on the 30 for 30 with, showing how ridiculous that guy was.
Yeah, I mean, he was trying. This was a career case for him, a career-making case. So he, you know, fabricated a lot of it to get the victory he desired.
Yeah, I mean, and then when it's all said and done, the three people who, you know, perpetrated the whole thing, the DA was disbarred and had to go to jail. Granted, he served a day, but still, the cop who wrote all the fake reports after the fact to fill in the blanks, he was gone the next year and then ended up killing himself.
And then the girl who, you know, the whole thing revolves around, she's in jail because she murdered her boyfriend, stabbed him to death. So, you know, it was pretty clear, you know, pretty early on, I thought, if you looked at everything, that, you know, it was definitely an inside job. And I definitely felt that they were innocent from about, you know, 2 weeks in after it happened. I was pretty convinced it was all a job. And I tell you, if anyone wants to really dig in, read the book that was written by the head coach, Mike Pressler. He wrote a book and about, you know, the whole ordeal in his life. And it's really, really, really good. You know, even if you're not really a sports person, it's just a good life lesson book. It's really good.
Yeah, I mean, it goes well beyond That's sports. I haven't seen the 30 for 30, but obviously I'm familiar with the story, and knowing you and our friend Kevin and a lot of other people in the lacrosse community, lacrosse is a very small world. And so from what I've heard, I feel worse for the coach, Mike Pressler, because by all accounts, he was one of the, you know, best guys in lacrosse coaching. Maybe you can confirm that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Coach Pressler is a well-liked, well-respected guy, for sure. Stand-up guy.
Yeah, and you feel bad for everyone, of course, but he lost his job. He's now an assistant somewhere, I think.
So. No, he's head coach.
Oh, is he?
Yep, Bryant.
Okay, Bryant. But yep, still, Bryant. No offense to Bryant, but that's a major career step down from Duke.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, when he went to Bryant, they were Division II in the same conference as us,
mm-hmm.
Lemoyne being us. And they were a big rival of ours, like a huge rival, you know, probably one of our biggest rivals. And he took the program from D2 now to D1. And a couple of years ago, they beat Syracuse in a playoff game, knocked Syracuse out in the first round of the playoffs. So it's pretty awesome. I mean, the guy's done a good job. And he's a great guy. And I'm glad this 30 for 30 came out and it was so well done. And you know, I'm really glad that people got to see, you know, the whole deal.
All right.
Watch it, everybody. It's excellent.
I look forward to it, and I definitely will. So I think it's time to cover some basketball, bring Danny back in here. Before we get into the bracket, let's each go around and say how many games we've seen this year, because this is very important in determining whether or not you should trust us. I personally have seen one college basketball game this year. It was Syracuse beating UConn in the Battle for Atlantis in November.
Important.
That's all I saw the entire year.
Okay. I have seen four games, three and a half. I bet the second half of a Texas game and lost. That was weird. But then I saw the three UConn AAAC American Athletic Conference of America.
We call it the Awful Athletic Conference now, Dan. Please get it right.
Okay, thank you for shortening that. It was getting a little hard to remember. I saw those three games, including the big shot to send it to triple overtime or whatever. So that was fun, but that's it. That's all I got.
I've actually watched a pretty good amount. I've probably watched and paid attention to maybe 8 or 10 games. I've half watched and paid attention to probably another 10 or so.
There's like 150 games like a week. So, not like 10. You're like, pretty good. 10 on the year.
Basically, if there was a guy I was hearing a lot about in NBA circles, then I would try to watch at least part of this game. That's about it. I only watched for NBA potential.
Okay, so will either of you be betting games? And if so, what will you be looking for in your betting?
No, I'll not be wagering any lines on this tournament. I don't know college basketball enough. I'm going to fill out one bracket tonight and send it into my friend's pool for like $15 or something like that. If you want NZ, I got one. It was the former lead singer of Cheer 13.
Ooh, my favorite band of the early 2000s.
So, yeah, there you go. Funny world.
Okay.
There you go.
I have a secret gambling strategy, but I'm going to wait until the end to share it.
Okay.
So let's go through our brackets now. I don't know if you guys have brackets, or I'll just read them off and you can tell me what you're going with. So I want to start in the East. We'll start with the top half of the bracket. We've got North Carolina plays the play-in winner, USC Providence, Indiana Chattanooga, and Kentucky at Stony Brook. Well, not at Stony Brook, versus Stony Brook. So who do you guys have coming out of that quadrant of teams?
North Carolina, obviously, first round win. In the USC Providence game, I like Providence because they got an elite point guard in Chris Dunn, and it makes sense for them to beat USC. I like Indiana to beat Chattanooga, and I like Kentucky to take care of business. I think Providence surprises some people and loses a very close game to North Carolina. So North Carolina in the Sweet 16, and I'll probably go with I'm going to go with Kentucky because they're loaded with talent. So Kentucky, North Carolina to the Sweet 16. Ryan?
Spill it.
Yep. Actually, I have exactly the same.
Okay. I threw a monkey wrench into this one. I've got, remember, I know nothing. So here are my picks. I've got UNC and USC, and I've got UNC winning that to advance to the Sweet 16. In the second half of those games, I pick Chattanooga for an upset over Indiana. No reason for that. They have only five losses, and a 12 always beats a 5. And Kentucky, I have beating Stony Brook because it's Stony Brook. There's no chance I'm going to pick a small college from New York. So I've got Kentucky winning that second game. I like to pick these upsets like a 12 over a 5 or a 13 over a 4 when I'm going to have them losing the next round anyway.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I would have picked Kentucky over Indiana, so I said, fuck it. Let's just pick Chattanooga, and that way if I'm right, then I look real cool.
Yeah, so cool. All the females flock.
That's what girls like. It's a guy who can pick the right upsets in an NCAA basketball tournament.
Oh, he's been watching the ESPN coverage. Joe Lunardi, lying to America.
From all I know about girls, the best way to get girls is to get a nice job as an insurance claims adjuster, be really good at picking NCAA basketball games, and be really awesome at dancing to techno music.
Yeah, it's really important, especially the first one.
All right, next half of that bracket. Notre Dame plays Michigan or Tulsa, the play-in winner. West Virginia takes on SF Austin.
Stephen F.
Stephen F. Austin, right. That like guy. That. Wisconsin Pitt and Xavier Weber State or Weber State. Not sure about that one. If you can't pronounce their name, I think it's safe to pick them to lose.
I don't care who plays Notre Dame. I'm picking Notre Dame to lose. I do it every year. It's a fun little game. I also like Stephen F. Austin to beat West Virginia, so that's all fucked up. And then I like Wisconsin over Pitt. Pitt sucks, and Xavier to win handedly. Moving forward, we got the play-in winner playing Stephen F. Austin. I'm going to take Stephen F. Austin to get to the Sweet 16 and face Xavier.
Wow.
Yeah.
Spill it. Over to you.
Yeah. All right. I am also going to take Michigan to beat Tulsa and then Michigan to beat Notre Dame. Beeline's a better coach. Mike Bray sucks. He's overrated and he looks like a mouse, like a rat. West Virginia is actually going to probably put the absolute smackdown on Stephen F. Austin. No Sorry, way. Dan. Sorry, Dan.
No way. We got good weather out here. We're ready.
I'm just laughing at the rat comment. I can't even listen to what you say.
Mike Bray, he looks like a rat. So does Jay Wright. We'll get to him later. I got some words for that asshole.
Dylan, no fun.
All right. Moving quickly. Wisconsin, Xavier. Xavier, I love a lot. Xavier's moving on. West Virginia, I love a lot. They're moving on. That's going to be an awesome game. That might be the best game of the tournament if you like defense. Xavier versus West Virginia.
All right. So I picked a weird bracket here. I guess, a little similar to both of yours, but more similar to Danny. I've got Michigan going to the Sweet 16, beating Stephen F. Austin on its way. And I've got Xavier over Wisconsin.
That's right. Me and you are very similar. I like what I see.
What's the point of picking this if you're just going to pick Scratch? My dad always does a bracket, and he always picks Scratch. And I'm always like, come on, man. Get some balls.
Oh, we're getting
classic Pete Z move.
He always wins, though. That's the thing.
Classic Pete Z move again.
Let's
shout out to Pete Z. 2016.
Let's go to the Midwest. Chicago. Actually, Raleigh, Denver, St. Louis, then Chicago. So, Virginia, Hampton, Texas Tech, Butler, Purdue, Little Rock, and Iowa State, Iona. Now, I'm going to answer one of this officially for everyone. Iowa State will beat Iona because Iona's from the MAC, same conference as Marist College, my alma mater. The MAC will not win a tournament game ever, except for the one time Siena made the Sweet 16, which was a fluke.
Hell froze over in upstate New York for a brief bit. Okay, here we run. We're going to run through this real quick. Virginia, Texas Tech is like the most overrated team in the tournament, I think. So I'm going to pick them to lose to Butler. I'll take Purdue, and I'll take Iowa State, and I'll take Virginia, and I'll take Iowa State again. Pretty chalky.
All right, I'm very similar, so I'll go next. I've got Virginia, Butler, Purdue, Iowa State, and then I've got Virginia, and I went with Purdue.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, I'm going to throw a monkey wrench into all this. I love it. So, Tom Z, I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to argue with your point about the MAC.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
So here's the thing. Iowa State is a pretty big team. You know, they have some good size. Iona, if you're not familiar with Iona, they play fast, super freaking fast. They go a lot. This game is in Denver, Mile High. This is a huge advantage for Iona. I think their guards can go all day. I think Iowa State's going to get in foul trouble and be tired. I love Iona. I'm taking Iona.
Ugh.
And I'm taking Arkansas Little Rock to take down Purdue.
Purdue.
Then I also have Virginia and I have Butler. I have Virginia moving on, and I have Iona in the Sweet 16. Boom, Tommy Z, Mac in the house.
All right. Ryan Spillett representing the Mac. Fake Mac with two A's. I'm happy to wager any amount of money you would like on that outcome not happening, but I commend you for the pick. Let's move along.
I'll go down on that. Let's do this.
All right.
We'll put this together. I love Iona.
Think about it. And at the end of the podcast, we'll make an Iona based bet. The first in history.
You got it.
All right. I'll go first on this next half. We've got Seton Hall, Gonzaga. I picked Gonzaga. Utah, Fresno State, I've got Utah. Michigan State, I've got beating Middle Tennessee. And then Dayton versus the Cuse. Now,
you have no business being in the tournament.
So two weird things about this bracket here. The only two pick-ems in the first round are Seton Hall, Gonzaga, and Dayton, Syracuse, both pick-ems, which will come into play later when I explain my ultimate strategy for betting. Also, Syracuse, worst RPI-rated team ever to make the tournament. Now, RPI, I think, has only been around for like 7 years or whatever, but
they get in, and they're only a 10 seed, which is absurd. Pretty stupid, but the committee hooked them up here. So if you want to go first, see, go ahead.
Yeah, so here's the thing I've learned about the NCAA tournament, and this is why I picked Michigan earlier to go to the Sweet 16. Whenever a team goes in that play-in game or when they go in on a losing streak and everybody's like, they shouldn't have made the tournament. You know, this St. Mary's should have been in. They got snubbed and crappy Syracuse should have been out. That team always wins because experts are always wrong about everything. So I've got the Cuse beating Dayton. I got Gonzaga over Utah in an upset. And then I've got Michigan State, of course, beating the Cuse. There's no way Cuse is going to the Sweet 16.
Small percentage.
All right, take it away.
Okay. We're going to go Seton Hall, Utah, Syracuse, Michigan State, pretty chalky, Utah, Michigan State, and then Michigan State.
Ryan?
Yeah, I'm going to go Zags, Utah, Syracuse, Michigan State, with Michigan State moving on, and they are going to play against Utah.
Spillet, have you followed Syracuse basketball at all this year?
That's probably, of the 10 games I said I watched, probably half of those were Syracuse, yes.
Do you think you're in any position to diagnose sort of what has gone wrong or why they are such a bad bubble team this year?
Trevor Cooney's a piece of trash. He sucks so bad. It's just, it ruins everything. Yeah.
Dan, you have a Trevor Cooney fan?
No, not so much.
All right, Dan and Ryan are moving the phone to a better location for a better connection.
No, I just want to show you the Arizona sunset real quick.
Oh.
Decent.
Yeah, that's a beautiful sunset down in Phoenix. It's cold and rainy here, roughly 48 degrees today.
Very luxury. Okay, sorry, interrupt your podcast.
Yeah, no problem. Let's go to the West. I was looking at this. I just want to point out this is the best football bracket of all of the brackets by far. If they were all the teams were to play in football, this bracket would dominate. So you've got the Oregon Ducks The Ducks taking on play-in winner, let's say Holy Cross. St. Joe's takes on Cincy. Baylor takes on Yale. And Duke takes on UNC Wilmington. Who you got, Danny P?
Oregon, St. Joe's, Baylor Bears, Duke. Oregon, Baylor Bears.
I got the same thing, and I wish this was football because Oregon-Baylor would be... That's the game you want to see.
We've been waiting for this with both teams healthy forever.
Spill it.
By the way, quick timeout on college basketball. Quick talk college football briefly. Speaking of Art Briles and the Baylor Bears, Seth Russell will be back for a fifth year next year to start. Has been confirmed. Everybody look out. Here we go.
It's pretty remarkable. If he can come back healthy, they've got to be preseason at least top three.
Three. They should be three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Spillet. Back to boring basketball.
Is he there? Spillet has disappeared from the camera. Okay.
Right.
Do you have anything different in that bracket?
I do. I have Oregon. I have Cincinnati.
They suck.
I have Baylor. And I have the UNC Wilmingtons to knock out the Dukes. Coach K has been to the tournament two other times before this year with 10 losses. Both times knocked out in the first round. Once by Shaka Smart and VCU. And the other was the, who was it that knocked him out a couple years ago?
Princeton or one of those teams?
No, it was, help me out here.
I don't know.
Fairleigh Dickinson, I think it was that beat him. So anyways, point being, Duke's, this is the third time he's gone with 10 losses. I'm going to go with history. I love the in-state rivalry. We talk about this on the podcast with the Louisiana schools a lot and those Georgia Southerns when they play Georgia. When the guys that are local that got overlooked by the big, bad in-state powerhouse, they play with way harder. Just a huge chip on their shoulder. Duke's not deep. Wilmington, moving along.
I like it. That's a bold prediction. All right, I've got a bold prediction for this next one. We got Texas, Northern Iowa, Texas A&M, Green Bay, Oregon State, VCU, and then Oklahoma, Cal State, Bakersfield. So I've got Oklahoma and A&M advancing. Upsets in the other two. So I've got VCU beating Oregon State, and I'm going with Northern Iowa to beat Texas. Speaking of Shaka Smart.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Texas. That's interesting. I'm going to go Northern Iowa in the first round. I'm going to go Texas A&M. Then I'm going to go VCU, and I'm going to go Oklahoma. Then I'm going to go Texas A&M to the Sweet 16 against VCU.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and VCU advancing to the Elite Eight.
Wow.
That's a bold move. I've got nothing like that.
Bold move.
Bold move.
I also like Northern Iowa. I like A&M, but not by much. I like actually Oregon State, even though normally I am the number one VCU bandwagoner. I have loved them for years. But Gary Payton Jr., not the glove. I believe he's the mitten. Yeah, that's right. He's the mitten. He's going to move on because I want to see him against Buddy Hield. And I think that's going to be a really fun game. We're going to have GP on the sideline sitting courtside. He's going to be talking shit to the players. It's going to be amazing. That it's just too good a TV to not happen. From there, I got Buddy Hield moving on, and I have Northern Iowa beating A&M. I think A&M sucks. I think they're super overrated. I've watched them actually two or three times, and they suck. So Northern Iowa against Buddy Hield. Boom.
I like it. All right, last bracket, the South. Kansas, Austin Peay, Colorado, UConn, Maryland, yeah. South Dakota State, and California, Hawaii. Spill it, you go first. We're going to make Dan wait on this one.
Don't worry, I got things to say about this bracket. This whole South region is going to be fun. Kansas, they're going to move on fine. UConn, of course, they're moving on. They're great. Maryland, moving along. Cal, moving along. After that, we're going to have the UConn Huskies knocking out the Kansas Jayhawks. You know why? Because they're the Oklahoma of college basketball. They will choke. Bill Self, Bob Stoops, same asshole. Not buying it. They're out of here. They always are. And then I think what might be one of the top three games of the tournament, Cal versus Maryland, maybe only other than the Kentucky-Carolina game, will there be any game that has more NBA talent on the floor? And that one, I kind of like Maryland to squeak through. We got Maryland versus the Con in the Sweet 16.
All right, pause there. Hand it over to UConn alumnus Dan Partridge.
All right, I'm going to be pretty annoying here. Kansas advances, UConn advances, Maryland advances, Cal advances, and, okay, then we're on to the next round. I'm going to take Kansas to beat UConn. I know, I'm the worst.
You're wrong.
And I'm going to take Cal to win. I'm going to take Kansas to beat Cal.
So, who would have thought I would be the one, me and Spillett would be the ones defending the UConn Huskies. I got UConn beating Kansas, knocking them off. UConn on a hot streak, Danny. You better watch
out. Boom, boom.
I know.
And I have South Dakota State knocking off Maryland and then Cal sliding into the Sweet 16. Cal has apparently a bunch of talented NBA players, which I never would have guessed, except I saw an article.
Yes, it's true.
So I've got UConn versus Cal there, and that is where I have the Cal Golden Bears knocking off the UConn Huskies. But I want to say one thing to the listeners. I was looking at some lines, some like overall lines to win it all, and it's about what you'd expect. You know, Kansas is like, I don't know. They're like, 5-1 or something. Michigan State's like 5-1. North Carolina, same thing. UConn Huskies, 100-1. So what I'm going to do is put down $2 on the UConn Huskies to win it all.
I will join you. I'm going to put $10 on it to win 1,000.
I think of all the teams that are 50-1 or greater, the UConn Huskies are playing very well. They have NBA quality talent, or at least great college quality talent. They got the big guy in the center. They got a great guard. They've done it recently, twice. And I don't expect them to win it all, but I think for those kind of odds, I think that's your best long shot bet of the tournament.
Me and Ryan were actually talking to UConn basketball the other day. We caught the AAC semifinal, and we're looking at UConn's recruiting class for next year. Crazy. They got like four really highly rated guys coming in. It's like the best recruiting class I've just about ever seen from UConn. So things are going to be good in stores for a while still. But I don't know. I'm going to take Kansas, and hopefully I'm wrong. So there you go.
Arizona versus the play-in winner, Vanderbilt or Wichita State, Miami, Buffalo, Iowa, Temple, Villanova, UNC, Asheville.
What a bunch of horse shit this is. All right, I'll take this one. Arizona, Miami, Temple, Villanova. Next round, Arizona advancing, Temple advancing, and then I'll take Arizona to advance from there.
Spill it. We know who you're going to pick. You are one of the biggest Arizona fans who didn't grow up in Arizona.
Yes, I am taking, very reluctantly, I'm taking Arizona in round one over Wichita State. Miami, I like. Temple, I like. No fun. They'll move on. After that, I actually have Miami over Arizona. I really like this Miami team. A lot of upperclassmen, transfers that have played other programs, have been in the tournament with multiple teams. I kind of like them. After that, I have Temple beating Villanova. That's right. The one and the two, get the hell out of here from that bracket. You're both gone.
All right, so I'm somewhat on board with you in that the one and the two will both be out. Now, I'd like to reiterate that I've watched one game all season, so here are my picks, and then I have a question for you. Maybe you can answer this. I picked Miami over Arizona, and then I picked Iowa to make the Sweet 16 and beat Villanova. Now, here's my question. Wasn't Iowa ranked like fifth, like 2 weeks ago?
Third.
Yeah.
They were all the way up to three in the country.
How the hell are they a seven seed?
They lost like 6 of 8 to end the year.
So they don't have injuries or anything like that.
I don't know.
No, they're just big. They're very similar to Iowa State. They're just in Purdue. All three of those teams are like the same thing. Just a bunch of big plotting meathead farm boy assholes. They suck. Don't buy the hype.
All right. Well, I got them in the Sweet 16. So
fair enough. You never know.
All right. So let's go to the Final Four now. We might as well stick in the same bracket. So I have Miami beating Iowa, Cal beating UConn, and then I have Cal in the Final Four. This was a tough one for me. There's not really a team I like from this bracket. I also know nothing, so I'm going with the team that's got some NBA talent and hoping those guys just decide to shine at the right time.
I have Kansas over Cal, and I have Arizona over Temple, and I have Kansas in the Final Four.
All right, not so fast. I have UConn hang on, where are we at? I'm lost. Oh, wait, I have Maryland beating Cal. I have Maryland moving on beating UConn. I have Miami advancing against Temple. I have Miami moving on. I have Miami versus Maryland, and I have Maryland in the Final Four.
Wow.
Ooh. All right. Five. So we've got a five, we've got a four, and Danny P with the one overall.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
All right. Back to the football bracket.
Yeah.
I've got Oregon over Baylor in the Tom, Dan, Ryan dream football game matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then I've got Oklahoma also advancing. And then I've got Oklahoma making the Final Four over Oregon.
Oh, wow.
Buddy Hield.
I also have Buddy Hield in the Final Four.
All right. I have Oregon advancing to the Elite Eight. I have Texas A&M advancing to the Elite Eight, and I have Oregon making the Final Four.
All right, let's go to the North Carolina bracket. So in a game that I think will be one of the best of the tournament, if this happens, I've got UNC barely edging out a win over Kentucky.
Yeah.
And then I've got Xavier. Even though they're the number two seed, I feel like by the time they reach that game, people will be expecting them to lose, but I've got them winning. Then I've got UNC beating Xavier to be my lone one seed in the Final Four.
Hmm. All right, I'll take it. I have Kentucky winning over UNC, and I have Jesus. Who the hell did I pick to come out of that mess? Stephen F. Austin losing to Xavier. So, and then I have Xavier beating Kentucky and Xavier in the Final Four.
All right, I have Kentucky also beating Carolina. I have West Virginia versus Xavier. I have Xavier coming out of that. And then I have Kentucky beating Xavier. Kentucky's in the Final Four. That's right. We have a 5, a 2, and a 4. Tune in, folks. What's coming next?
It's a mess.
Some good talent in there in this bracket. UNC, obviously a one seed, a great team. Kentucky, I know they're 4. I haven't seen them play all year. They must just have a bunch of NBA guys. I mean, they made the final
Jamal
as an 8,
Murray.
Right, 2 years ago. So
oh, yeah,
they're always in the mix.
They have the best backcourt in the country right now. Ulis and Murray are playing better than anybody.
So Kentucky just basically goes by the Khalid Elamine, Jake Voskal standard of we don't need to try for the first half of the year,
uh-huh.
and we'll pick it up when it counts.
That's
that correct?
That's how college basketball works.
All right. And then on to the Midwest, I've got Virginia beating Purdue, Michigan State beating Gonzaga, and then I've got Tom Izzo and Michigan State in the Final Four.
All right. I also have Virginia moving on, and I have Michigan State moving on. I have Michigan State beating Virginia, Michigan State in the Final Four.
Same with me. I have Virginia, Michigan State going to the Final Four.
All right, Final Four time. I guess I'll go first. So my Final Four is a 1 seed UNC, a 2 seed Michigan State, a 2 seed Oklahoma, and a 4 seed Cal. And I've got Michigan State knocking off UNC, and then I've got Oklahoma beating Cal. And so I've got Michigan State, Oklahoma, 2 2-seeds in the championship game. And then I've got Michigan State and Tom Izzo winning it all.
Oh.
Based on nothing, of course.
I like it.
I heard they were good.
I have Michigan State beating Xavier, and I have Kansas moving on against Oregon, and I have Kansas beating Michigan State in the national title game.
All right. I have Oklahoma beating Maryland in the Final Four. I have Michigan State beating Kentucky in the other game. And I have Michigan State, Oklahoma, with Michigan State winning.
All right. Me and Spillett, same final game, same outcome.
Correct.
Not
so
me.
All three of us have Michigan State then in the championship game.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So I think I feel safe saying that as a podcast, as a unit, Take the Points endorses the Michigan State Spartans as your safest pick.
For a while.
Best coach in the country and probably the best player in the country.
Are there any sleeper teams that either of you like that maybe you didn't pick, but you think if the right things break for them, you know, a low seeded team that you could see going very far?
I could see UConn getting the Elite Eight as a 9 seed.
Yeah. I mean, I guess UConn has to be my pick since I'm laying down a couple bucks at 100 to 1. It would help if I watched any games or knew anything. That might help me pick a team, but
yes.
I guess I'll say UConn as well.
I like Northern Iowa. I like Iona. I think both teams could do well.
There you go.
All right. So we're at the hour mark, almost time to wrap up, but I've got a question for Dan to end. Proper watching etiquette / tips. See, you're very lucky. You work at a restaurant. You can turn on 4 TVs with different games going on. The rest of us chumps like me and Spillett, you know, we're in an office. These games start at noon on Thursday and Friday. What are we supposed to do? Do we just take half days? Do we watch quietly on our laptop? What's the protocol?
Well, hopefully, one, you have enough, you know, vacation days to take some time here if you really want to. If not, I would just use your iPhone to go to the ESPN app and just look at scores. That's all you can really do. You can't watch live action. It's too tough.
Spillett, what are you going to be doing? How will you be enjoying March Madness and pretending to work?
I'm probably going to try to find a couple people to sit around me and assign games that everybody has to be. That's the game that they keep hitting refresh on the app with. And then we have IM, you know, within the office, so we can always update each other through that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but if the game does go to a crazy scenario, there is the guy who sits in front of me has his iMac because he takes classes too. So like today, for example, during the Champions League match, when Dan texted me and said it's in the 116th minute and it's tied, it's going to go to penalties. I told him this guy actually was his favorite team, Atletico, and he flipped up his laptop. To the last 20 minutes of my workday today, I watched a penalty shootout, and it was awesome. He was a stud, you know, all-star goalie. So watching with him was kind of cool. He's had like pro tryouts in other countries and Belgium and Brazil. So it was pretty cool. But that's how I'm going to do it, is probably assign games to everybody and we update each other.
I think is going to be the year where I just sort of say, fuck it. And I'm just going to have my laptop there set up as like a second computer. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to sort of have an office and it sort of faces out to a window. So if I turn my computer the right way, you really can't tell what I'm looking at unless you actually come in my office. So I think I'm just going to watch the games blatantly and openly and not apologize for anything.
I like it.
Feel free to text updates to me. That's fine.
Yeah, I'll be happy to. I'm just going to, you know, work a little bit longer tomorrow night, I think, Wednesday night. And just let it be known that like from noon on Thursday, Friday, I'm pretty much out of commission.
Yep, that's fine.
Good work.
It's America.
Possibly a very long lunch for the Syracuse game at noon on Friday.
Oh, boy.
Planning lunch around it is very smart. I did that last week with the two Champions League games where I planned my lunch so I could watch the last 30 minutes of the two games. And so I did that.
All right, we will see how it goes. Oh, my betting strategy. I almost ended this podcast without my secret betting strategy. So here it is.
Yeah.
Very simple. Not difficult. I am convinced that it's going to win, but I've never been able to fully execute it before, and I'll explain in a second. My strategy is I am betting every single underdog in every single game of the entire NCAA tournament except for the first 1 and 2 seed games.
Okay.
Now, normally my plan has been to bet every underdog except the 1-16 matchups. So even the 2-15 ones, I would bet on the 15. But this year, I feel like the 2s are much better than they've been pretty much ever. So yes. I'm going to leave those games out. The 1-16 and the 2-15, I'm not doing anything. And then every other game for the entire tournament, I'm going to bet an even amount. I haven't decided whether I'm going to do like, say, $5 or $10 a game. And we're going to test this out. And my feeling is enough underdogs win outright that if just a handful can cover, then I think I'm going to have a winning tournament.
I like it.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to keep you posted, and I will somehow let the Take the Points listeners know at some point how it worked out. If it works out this year, then we're going big time for next year and all future years.
My strategy is upperclassmen and NBA first round players. Who has the most upperclassmen and or combination of that with first round talent? That's it. That's all I look at. And then for tiebreaker, flip a coin, pick the better coach. Tom Izzo's the best coach.
Okay. Yeah, the last year I tried to do my bet on all underdogs, but I got busy with a work project and I missed the first day of the tournament. I didn't bet any of those games, and that was a day with a ton of upsets. So I ended up pretty much even on the year, but I missed that first day where all the big upsets were, which could have tilted the scales in my favor. So
gotcha. Vegas this year, has the line at 8.5 upsets in the first round.
Mm-hmm. So this year we get it right. And for the two pick'em games, which kind of makes things a little difficult, we've got Seton Hall Gonzaga, we've got Dayton Syracuse. I'm going to go with the lower seeds in both games because that's who I picked in my bracket. And it sticks with the principle anyway. And I just, man, as a Syracuse fan, I just can't see them losing to Dayton. Come on.
Again?
Well, besides that, this is the tournament, though. Jim Boeheim's back. Dayton.
So, all right.
We'll see how it goes. Anything to add, either of you, before we wrap this one up?
No, I think I'm good, man. That was a good podcast, a little fun one. Maybe we'll do one in a couple months again when some nonsense happens with the election or something.
NBA draft or NFL draft.
NFL draft, maybe.
Yeah, we'll be back with another secret surprise Take the Points podcast sometime before football season kicks off. And then we will be back in August, I guess, with our actual season. If this is the first podcast you're listening to, normally we talk about college football during the season only, and we're prepared, and we're not just making shit up the whole time. So congratulations, you picked a horrible one to start with.
Yeah, well, whatever. It was fun. We got to talk about some random shit and just at least stay in touch.
Yeah.
All right, Z, we're going to get going. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Take care. Thank you.
Bye. See ya.
The ball is tipped, and there you are. You're running for your life. You're a shooting star. And all the years, no one knows just how hard you worked. But now it shows in one shining moment. It's all on the line. In one shining moment, they're frozen.
Cosby innocent. I'm in debt. I need some money from the guy who did Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg.
In one shining moment, you reach for the sky. In one shining moment, you knew. In one shining moment, you're willing to try. In one shining